Sunday Evangelium with Father Andrew Pinsent on the fourth Sunday of Easter, Vocation Sunday.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. These words show how reference to grace begins the Mass immediately after the invocation of the Trinity. A reference to grace appears also in the Hail Mary, in which Mary is described as being full of grace. And Catholics of an older generation may be familiar with the phrase state of grace. The principle of grace underpins today's readings and the idea of Christian vocation, especially pertinent to today's World Day of Prayer for vocations. But what is grace? And why is it important? To understand grace, it is helpful to begin by thinking of what is meant by nature, or more specifically, the particular nature of a particular living and growing thing. Usually, it is not difficult to know what the nature of a thing is. The nature of a puppy is a dog, the nature of an acorn is an oak, and so on. And every aspect of a living thing is focused towards its natural flourishing or fruition. But what about human beings? What is the nature of a human being? What is our fully developed form? Such questions have always encountered certain mysteries. First, because of an ambiguity of what is meant by human flourishing and happiness. An ambiguity that advertisers exploit in order to sell their wares. But there's also a mystery about the way in which our nature is frustrated in certain ways, especially by the problems of sin and death that hinder our happiness. So often, as St. Paul says, we do the opposite of what we should do for our own well-being. And the very fact we can think about immortal realities and relate to persons as persons makes death a particular grief for human beings. Hence the teaching of original sin, that we're born into a state of frustrated or disgraced nature, and our natural relationship to God is distant and uncertain. This background, this human predicament, helps us to understand why grace is so important. As the second reading states, we are children of God, capable of loving with God the things that God loves, and living in the hope of one day seeing God face to face. This state of being children of God is not how we were born, but is a gift that has come to us through baptism, and this gift is called the life of grace. To live this life of grace is not to be alone, but to be incorporated into a community, the Church, which Scripture describes using many different images. In today's Gospel, for example, the life of grace within the Church is described as being like a flock of sheep. Hence bishops carry croziers, modelled after the crook of a shepherd, as they are called to share in the ministry of Christ, the Good Shepherd, who teaches, governs, and sanctifies, in order to plant and nurture the life of grace. This life of grace can also be compared to being one of the living stones in the great building, growing, spreading, and branching through space and time, with Christ as its cornerstone, as it says in today's responsorial psalm. This life of grace also blesses and heals the frustration of human nature, as in the first reading, in which St. Peter heals a cripple, a foreshadowing of the great works of charity done by Christians in healthcare through the centuries. As I frequently like to remind people, we have nursing sisters today because Catholic Christianity first gave us nuns, one of the great flowerings of the life of grace, like the roses of the Garden of God. Serious sin cuts off the life of grace from its root so that we become like dry branches. But fortunately the sacraments, especially confession, revivify this life and make it fruitful. So what happens when the life of grace encounters the life of disgraced nature? I think it's important not to be naive and to recognize that the world often perceives this distinction more clearly than certain Christians. There are, of course, times when the world either praises the Christian life or is indifferent to it, but not often, and not for long. At the time of the Maccabean Revolt, the descendants of the Greeks who gave us the philosophy of nature launched a persecution against the Jewish people, who enabled us to live the life of grace. Similarly, the first time Christians appear in the pagan history books, they are described as the enemies of mankind. A hostility that has continued in every century, especially the 20th century, against those seeking to live the life of grace in obedience to Christ the Good Shepherd. Nevertheless, despite all their sound and fury, the enemies of grace, whoever they happen to be in each generation, quickly pass away, and the history of the Church continues to unfold in this life, reaching its final fruition in eternity. So may God renew our sense of wonder and gratitude at the gifts we've been given, especially the gift of grace. May we allow this gift to be as fruitful as possible in the time we've been given, and not allow ourselves to be intimidated or tempted by the world. May this life of grace come one day to its true and eternal fulfillment in heaven.
May your love be upon us, O Lord.